CD 6.
In the wings, the noise of the audience was a solid wall of sound.
"There's lots of them," said Glod. "I never played for that many in my entire life."
Ashfalt was arranging Cliff's rocks on the stage and getting massive applause and capcalls. Glod glanced up at Buddy. He hadn't let go of the guitar all this time. Dwarfs weren't given to deep introspection, but Glod was suddenly aware of a desire to be a long way from here, in a cave somewhere.
"Best of luck, you guys," said a flat little voice behind them.
Jimbo was bandaging Crash's arm.
Thanks, said Cliff. "What happened to you?"
"They threw something at us," said Crash.
"What?"
"Noddy, I think."
What could be seen of Crash's face broke into a huge and terrible smile.
"We done it, though," he said. "We done music with Roxin, all right. That bit where Jimbo smashed his guitar, they loved that bit."
"Smashed his guitar?"
"Yeah," said Jimbo with the pride of the artist. "On scum."
Buddy had his eyes closed. Cliff thought he could see a very, very faint glow surrounding him like a thin mist. There were tiny points of light in it. Sometimes Buddy looked very elvish. Ashfalt scurried off the stage.
"Okay, all done," he said.
The others looked at Buddy. He was still standing with his eyes shut as if he was asleep on his feet.
"We'll get on out there then," said Glod.
"Yeah," said Cliff. "We'll get on out there, will we? Buddy?"
Buddy's eyes snapped open suddenly.
"Let's rock," he whispered.
Cliff had thought that the sound was loud before, but it hit him like a club as they trooped out of the wings. Glod picked up his horn. Cliff sat down and found his hammers. Buddy walked to the centre of the stage, and to Cliff's amazement, just stood there looking down at his feet. The cheering began to subside, and then died away altogether. The huge hall was filled with the hush of hundreds of people holding their breath. Buddy's fingers moved. He picked out three simple little chords, and then he looked up.
"Hello, Ankh Morpork!"
Cliff felt the music rise up behind him and rush him forward into a tunnel of fire and sparks and excitement. He brought his hammers down, and it was Music with Roxin. C.M.O.T. Dibbler stood out in the street so that he didn't have to hear the music. He was smoking a cigar and doing calculations on the back of an overdue bill for stale buns.
"Let's see. Okay, Abbott outside somewhere so there's no rent. Maybe 10,000 people, one sausage and a bun each at $1.50. Nah, say $1.75. Mustard 10 pence extra. 10,000 band with Roxin shirts at $5 each. Make that $10. Add stall rental for other traders, because people who like music with Roxin could probably be persuaded to buy anything."
He was aware of a horse coming along the street. He paid it no attention until a female voice said,
"How do I get in here?"
"No chance. Tickets all sold out," said Dibbler, without turning his head.
Even band with Roxin posters, people had been offering $3 just for posters, and Chalky the Troll could knock out 100 at... He looked up. The horse, a magnificent white one, watched him incuriously. Dibbler looked around.
"Where'd she go?"
There were a couple of trolls lounging just inside the entrance. Susan ignored them. They ignored her. In the audience, Ponder Stibbons looked both ways and cautiously opened a wooden box. The stretched string inside began to vibrate.
"This is all wrong," he shouted in Ridcully's ear. "This is not according to the laws of sound."
"Maybe they're not laws," screamed Ridcully. People a foot away couldn't hear him. "Maybe they're just guidelines."
"No, they have to be laws."
Ridcully saw the Dean try to climb on the stage in the excitement. Ashfalt's huge troll feet landed heavily on his fingers.
"Oh, I say, good shot," said the Arch-Chancellor.
A prickling sensation on the back of his neck made him look around. Although the cavern was crowded, a space seemed to have formed in the floor. People were pressed together, but somehow this circle was inviolate as a wall. In the middle of it was the girl he'd seen in the drum. She was walking across the floor, holding her dress daintily. Ridcully's eyes watered. He stepped forward, concentrating. You could do almost anything if you concentrated. Anyone could have stepped into the circle if their senses had been prepared to let them know it was there. Inside the circle, the sound was slightly muted. He tapped her on the shoulder. She spun round, startled.
"Good evening," said Ridcully.
He looked her up and down and then said,
"I'm Mustram Ridcully, Arch-Chancellor of Unseen University. I can't...